2. We are the Watchers. Ash. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Tom.
Hi.
We can now legally, now we can drink.
Great.
And we can gamble.
Woo!
It is We Are The Watchers episode 21.
I'm going to celebrate with some purple drink.
I'm going to celebrate with some purple rain.
Woo!
Rest in peace.
One involves tighter pants.
Yeah. And high heels as well. Do you remember he wore heels a lot?
Yeah.
A lot.
Good on him.
Look, if he's a short person, I understand I am too.
He was particularly short.
Takes one to know one.
Woo, woo.
We've got a lot going on today. I know that just before we pressed record, we kind of just had a bit of a rundown of the things that we were talking about. And I don't know if we're going to be able to get to them all.
Oh, I'm going to use my speedy voice.
Oh, okay. Then we'd definitely be able to. Shall we crack into a bit of news? There's a fair bit going on around.
Yeah. Tell us some news.
That there are traps. Well, shall we start with sort of a mild? Sad one.
Okay.
Everything Sucks, that 90s show that I was talking about a couple of months ago, has been cancelled at Netflix.
Oh.
They're refining their script roster.
Oh.
Which I guess means shows that take longer to make are just getting turfed out. So that's a shame. And the makers, they're created by Ben York Jones, that's his name, and Brian Mohan, they said, "We're super proud of the show we made and very proud that it found an audience that was pretty passionate. You know, they had a lot of passionate fans. They got pretty good reviews as well, if I remember back then.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "We're grateful to Netflix for the opportunity, but very disheartened that we won't be continuing to tell these stories." Netflix has a lot of original stuff.
It does. And they don't tend to cancel a lot of things.
So what's going on? Because from what I gathered, the show, like I said, had quite good reviews. Did the reviews not stack up to the amount of watches?
Quite possibly. Netflix doesn't reveal any of their ratings.
We don't know.
So we don't know. It could be that they were expecting another 13 Reasons Why monster hit, and it wasn't on that level. And
no,
so
it was
said,
a bit more... It bubbled away, I think.
Yeah, I think they're definitely aiming for, water cooler buzz moment shows. So if something's not hitting that, they're less likely to keep investing in it. Potentially, that's the reason. Maybe there's behind-the-scenes stuff that we're not aware of.
Whether that has anything to do with Everything Sucks or the fact that Netflix just has potentially too many programs at the moment.
Well, one big thing that people have been concerned about with this potential Fox buyout by Disney is that Disney will then be releasing so many things that they're going to cannibalize their own market.
True.
You know, finding release windows for all of their many films is going to be much more difficult. I think Netflix already has that problem because they'll be promoting, you know, it happened to Altered Carbon. They were going so hard with the promotion for that, and then the deal came through for the Cloverfield Paradox, and it just stepped on Altered Carbon 3 days before it dropped.
Altered Carbon was a show that I couldn't get through.
I didn't bother starting.
Potentially, they also realised that Cloverfield Paradox was just a one-off movie, and that is something that people would jump on more than committing themselves to, I can't remember how many episodes, say 10 episodes of a show, and they thought, well, let's throw money at that.
Well, I think as well it would have timed quite coincidentally with initial reviews for Altered Carbon coming out, which weren't super strong.
Yeah, that's true.
And at the same time, I think they knew Cloverfield Paradox wasn't going to be quite as well received as they hoped it would be.
Yeah.
You know, Paramount certainly knew that, and that's why they sold the film off and this sort of stuff. And so I think maybe it was just, let's get the most we can out of both shows. So, you know, in a brighter universe, they might have branded it Sci-Fi Week and really push something new on sci-fi each day. I think that's
not a
how
bad
they,
idea, actually.
I think that's how they could get around a lot of this confusing programming clashes that they have, is instead try and sync it up. So, CW Network is the guys that do all the superhero shows. They've done a brilliant job as marketing themselves as that, and they've decided that that's the stuff that really connects. And so during, you know, what really amounts to 22, 24 weeks of the year or whatever, those are dedicated superhero weeks. And you know that, and all their marketing is talking about that. When that's not the case, they don't talk about it at all.
Yeah, right.
So I think Netflix could learn a lot from that model because CW is a show that was on, I think, 4 nights a week or something, and now they've expanded out to 6 nights a week because they're doing so well of just hammering that key message.
And it's obviously working. And they CW is one of those companies, would you say, or I'll say channels for the moment, where they have actually managed to rebrand themselves a couple of times successfully over the years.
Yeah.
And what they'll do next, I don't know. But at the moment, I can see, at least for the foreseeable future, they've got a good thing going.
Yeah.
Why change it?
Yeah. Well, we talked last week about all the renewals and stuff like that.
So
they
just,
you know, they've announced with Legends of Tomorrow, not only have they reviewed, but they're bringing Constantine in, who is one of their very popular characters that was actually on a Fox show that got cancelled 4 years ago, I want to say, or something like this.
A fair while ago, because it was off my radar.
Yeah, and he's floated around and voiced him in animated movies and animated web series and this sort of stuff, and he's popped up on Constantine a few times. Legends. He was on Arrow as well. They've used him to really link the shows. And, you've got to give them props. CW's really remarketed themselves. You know who else has done a really good job of doing that? Is a channel called True TV, which used to be Court TV.
Oh, yeah.
And it was all about, you know, law cases and this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then they decided they wanted to get more into the branded comedy content.
That's a big switch.
It's a massive switch. It's still reality-based, so most of their stuff is still information or reality-based, and they're the guys that do Impractical Jokers.
Yep.
They do Adam Ruins Everything, Carbonaro Effect, Chris Gethard Show. Gethard, I should say. Sorry.
Say it with the correct pronunciation. quickly speaking about court shows, I saw this little article yesterday about Judge Judy. Now, we've spoken about how much money she makes from her TV
show.
Doesn't
she only work like 48 days a year or something?
It's ridiculous, and she makes $45 million. Now, a judge has actually... has teamed up with their workmate and judged her salary of $45 million appropriate. Now, she is the highest paid person in television. But a recent claim brought against CBS, which is where her show over in the US is broadcast, over her salary has been dismissed. Rebel Entertainment filed the claim against CBS, accusing them of paying her way too much as part of an insidious scheme to deny them their share and profit because of their participation in the program.
Right.
They were the talent agency that originally packaged Judge Judy back in the 1990s.
Okay.
So they thought if they weren't getting paid enough, and that might have been the angle that they were trying to go for, but it's been thrown out of the LA Superior Court. So it went pretty high up within that state. $45 million.
It's a lot of gavels.
It's a lot. Just for basically telling people to stop being ridiculous, which is, I feel like, what she says most of the time.
Most of the time it's common sense.
Yeah, and that's what she's all about.
Yeah.
But good on her.
Yeah.
Judge Judy.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Any other news stories from you?
Oh, look, I've got a couple. A quick one is that Walking Dead roller coaster is finally open.
I'm still
yet to see any POV footage, so no one snuck a camera in to film it all yet, but it looks pretty horrifying. A lot of it appears to be a recreation of the jail.
Okay.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I like that. Sort of confined sort of space, which I think is where the whole scariness of a zombie approaching you really kicks in.
Well, it's a reskin of a previous roller coaster called X that I've been on that was very good. So if they're plussing that, that'll be excellent. But it does look like there's a moment that the ride stops in a darkened tunnel.
Oh, great.
And perhaps some friendly zombies lean out of a window to try and give you a little tickle.
I was just imagining, and it stops, and then you hear a phone ringing.
Bing, bing.
And then it's Rick having a conversation.
Sure. Such a long chat. There's 2 Jurassic World games coming out.
Oh, Lego?
No. Well, I think there'll be a Jurassic World game.
There would have to be.
There was an Incredibles 2 Lego game announced this week.
Are you tempted?
Oh, I'm so good. No, but one of them is a theme park simulator, which there was one called Jurassic Park Operation Genesis back in early 2000s. It was great fun, whereas this one is going to be similar to that. So it's you're managing a theme park. Yep. You've got to choose between researching further dinosaurs, beefing your security, or having more entertainment for your visitors.
People are going to just sink so many hours into this. This is a game. Hi. Yeah, that's me. Exactly.
The other one that I might actually do is there's a Pokemon Go style or augmented reality Jurassic Park game. So you'd be able to find dinosaurs out in the real world.
That's fun because Pokemon Go was obviously limited in what you could and couldn't do, but the excitement of finding things out in the real world was the main attraction. And that's kind of had a bit of a lull in the world of mobile gaming at the moment. So to have that come out, I think people would jump on board whether they're huge Jurassic Park fans or not.
Yeah, look, I'm hoping the engine is good and that it doesn't drain all your battery life, which was one of the biggest problems.
That's what Pokemon Go did, yeah.
So just announced this morning before we recorded that the Walt Disney Company have made a massive donation to the Smithsonian Museum in the States.
Yeah.
I think it might be the largest private donation ever made or something along these lines. But there's one of the original monorails from Disney World, which they had a hand in inventing. There's all the dinosaur audio animatronics from some of their rides and
just fun.
Heaps of interesting history. But the most amazing thing, Walt Disney's frozen body.
Are you serious?
Because he had himself cryogenically frozen.
I thought that was just a rumor.
Well, the rumor was that he had his head cryogenically frozen to bring himself back.
What?
I've read a lot about cryogenics, and the way that it was done means that it is 99.9999999% that they could never bring him back.
Uh-huh.
But it's still one of those urban Hollywood legends that that's the plan. But yes, his frozen body has never been shown to the public.
I didn't know it existed.
Yes. So
this is apparently so cool.
It's going to be on display.
That is insane.
I'm so impressed.
Where's it going to be? The Smithsonian is in Washington, D.C., isn't it? I thought they had a few around.
They've got stuff around, but the major Smithsonian catalogue is all housed in Washington. So I'm pretty down with that.
Yes.
That's now, if it does go on display, that's a bucket list.
Oh, for sure.
Because I've never seen a frozen anybody.
Nope. I'm trying to think. The only person that I've lined up to check out is Chairman Mao.
Sure.
You know.
I went and saw some of Tutankhamun's gear when I was over in Paris.
Yes, I have too. Yes.
But it's a bit different seeing someone's stuff. And mummified is a bit different, I reckon, because mummified involves a lot of work, where cryogenic is just like...
Just keep the power on.
Yeah. I reckon that's pretty
That's
cool.
insane. It's just blown my mind that that was a real thing. I just assumed for years that that was just a made-up story. I am so totally impressed and excited about the whole thing.
I think he's been frozen for, it'd be 50 and a bit years or something.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
And the other one.
Literally.
The other one that's just come out this morning, which I need to read to you, is the synopsis for Deadpool 2.
Yes, please.
Yeah. After surviving a near-fatal bovine attack, a disfigured cafeteria chef by the name of Wade Wilson struggles to fulfill his dream of becoming Mayberry's hottest bartender whilst also learning to cope with the lost sense of taste.
Okay.
Searching to regain his spice for life as well as a flux capacitor, Wade must battle ninjas, the Yakuza, and a pack of sexually aggressive canines as he journeys around the world to discover the importance of family, friendship, and flavor, finding a new taste for adventure, and earning the coveted coffee mug title of World's Best Lover.
Amazing.
So good.
They just have so much fun,
don't they?
That is so much fun. And I love the fact that there was that whole taste tie-in. It went the whole way through that little synopsis.
And, you know, you got a Back to the Future reference.
Yes,
I saw
that.
Was that cocktail that they were talking about? Remember the Tom Cruise ones?
Brian Brown?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, some great stuff in there.
When that's soon.
Yeah.
There's actually
a lot of stuff over the next few months.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. It's a good time to be a comic book nerd.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
A couple other stories you did throw my way was the fact that we got the Solo trailer this week.
Yes.
Well, the new one, I should say. A whole heap of new stuff, including Phoebe Waller-Bridge, a.k.a. Fleabag.
Yep.
Her voice is instantly recognizable.
Yep. Just continuing that great tradition from Rogue One of having a really deadpan, slightly sarcastic robot.
I love it.
Yep.
We've got no problems. Also, did you notice that we found out how old Chewbacca is?
What was it, 100 and something?
190 something.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It actually made me excited about the movie.
Yes, it's the best stuff to come out of it that I've seen.
Got a bit of Lando in there, which I thought was good.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I can't see...
Khaleesi.
I just see her as, Khaleesi, basically.
That's all right. She's got Khaleesi in space, I'm down with that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
This will be her third franchise. She did a Terminator.
She did, which has been discarded.
Yes, that doesn't exist anymore. Not Game of Thrones, Terminator. And now she's in Star Wars. What else could she get into? She could get into Lord of the Rings, which is a great segue into the ridiculous amount of money. I didn't think I heard it correctly. So this is Lord of the Rings TV show.
Mm-hmm.
How many seasons has Amazon decided to pick up?
So it's a guaranteed 5-season order for...
Well, the reported is... Reportedly $1
billion. $1 billion.
That's the $1 million. The biggest in television history.
Look, I think it's a crazy price tag, but the Lord of the Rings films would have cost more than that to make.
Probably, yeah.
I would imagine that's pretty comparable to Game of Thrones.
That's what I was going to wonder.
$200 million a season isn't crazy.
And if they can jump on just after Game of Thrones finishes, Game of Thrones audience are like, what do we want? We want fantasy world.
Yep.
Oh, we know Lord of the Rings. Jump over there.
I think Amazon's Jeff Bezos, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, he threw like $200 million for getting the Top Gear guys when they came and did
Grand enormous amount of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he believes in paying for quality content.
And it's going to work. That I think that is what is going to tip a lot of people over to Amazon.
It'll be interesting to see what they do because there's plenty of stories in the Cimmerillion. I can't even say it.
Cimmerillion.
There's plenty of stories in that they could adapt. Maybe there'll be stuff around forging of the rings.
Yes.
Where they fit into the narrative, I'm not sure. But
it's a universe that is wonderful. You've got the gorgeousness, the lushness. You've got the bad guys. You've got a lot of history that obviously came before Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. And I think there's a lot of space in that universe for stories to be told that people are going to be on board with.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. I'm excited about it. Also, I'm kind of in that mood at the moment because I'm reading the fourth Game of Thrones book now.
Sure.
Red Wedding's been done.
Yep.
That was a little bit different to the TV show.
Yes.
Not too different, but there was
enough.
There was a bit where I went, that person was supposed to be there for that moment in time. But anyway, I'm sure they'll sort them out later on. But yeah,
I
got so much. And I love the fact that it's going to deviate from the TV show.
Oh, yes.
Which I like because I feel like I'm going to get a better understanding of the world.
Yes. Hey, look, it's kind of funny that you talk about that because the Westworld creators this morning, talking about season two, they basically put out a post on Reddit going, how about we put out a spoiler video for the entire plot of season two? Because we want people that, in the same way that Game of Thrones has what you call caretaker people in these communities that will ensure that spoilers don't trickle in or that know ahead of time what the storyline is and so can guide people's theories towards the right stuff rather than spoiling.
Right. Yep.
I think it's a very interesting experiment. I don't know if they'll actually do it. It might just be Jonathan Nolan messing around.
Which is possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it Jonathan? Yeah, it is Jonathan. Christopher's the filmed one.
Yeah.
Jonathan's TV.
That Westworld. I've noticed a lot of buzz gearing up on, for us here in Australia, Foxtel.
Yeah.
They're throwing a lot of ads.
Yeah.
On all channels.
Well, it's Game of Thrones for this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the biggest show.
And I'm happy with that.
Yep.
So much to watch.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Any other news stories?
It's watching, but last night was WrestleMania 34. A bit of an annual tradition. I always like to sit down and watch a bit of WrestleMania with the fam.
A lot of people do that.
We do. We got pizzas.
Ooh, yum.
Mm-hmm. So it was a 7-hour show.
That's commitment. Hang on, what time did it start?
I didn't watch all of it. There's a few matches that they don't show. Mm-hmm. Look, it started in the morning we recorded it. So I met with my brothers and my dad at 5. started watching, and we watched through till probably 10:30, 11.
That's all right.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, that's doable.
So we fast-forwarded through a few of the slower matches and stuff, but the big news, the big talking point was Ronda Rousey, who used to be the biggest female UFC fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And she's left the UFC and she's now joined the WWE.
Big stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting because normally these type of matches, these type of, it's called a work, where you have a celebrity come in. It's uh-huh. for a one-off moment to get a big pop, and everyone else in the ring is working so that that person does as little as possible. They're not doing risky moves.
Right,
they might
okay.
be performing some and yep. hitting someone with stuff,
yep.
but they're not ones taking big bumps. Where this was a tag team match of Ronda Rousey paired with Kurt Angle,
oh,
who
yeah.
he's been around for 20
Ages.
Years or something like
yeah.
that, and he was an American gold medalist for actual wrestling at the Olympics.
He shaved his head not yes. that recently.
Yes.
But I remember seeing it going, oh, he shaved his head.
Yes.
Probably 10 years ago, to be all honest.
Might even be further back than that. It's been a while.
Time flies.
But yeah, they were paired together against Triple H and Stephanie yeah. McMahon. Stephanie McMahon is the daughter of the owner of the company, and she is the executive manager or something along those
Big
lines.
Big names.
Yes. Triple H is I guess, the general manager or something along these lines. And it was in everyone in the company's best interest to make sure that she looked as good as possible and came off as a real threat and not just a celebrity drop-in.
And how did it go?
Oh, these three, you couldn't work with better sellers. Like, these guys sold everything to
Amazing.
Make sure she just glowed. And it was great. She did plenty of the UFC moves, you know. It looks like her finishing moves are all going to be around arm bars or mat work, which is what she was best known for.
Mm.
But she also did some amazing flips and, you know, throwing people around, and a really impressive moment where she lifted, you know, almost deadlift style, lifted up Hunter, like Triple H, who would be...
He is a big guy.
175 kilos
oh
of muscle
goodness.
Or something like that, 6'8", and
now
she got him across
fit,
her
but
shoulders.
I don't think of her as an enormous person.
Well, she's ripped, but she's not bulked.
No.
So she's clearly never messed with roids or anything like that to get any size. Mm. Hers is just compact muscle. So for her to get this guy up and hold him up on the shoulders, it reminded me of the late 80s match where Hulk Hogan got Andre the Giant up on
oh,
the
yeah.
shoulders.
Yeah, I've seen
and
photos. Yeah.
It was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
This is a feat of strength that should not be possible. It looked similar like that. So it was a fantastic introduction for her. I'm very excited to see where it goes from here because she's in now.
She was pretty much, for a time, the biggest name in UFC.
Yeah, yeah.
And now for her, I know she had was it here in Australia she had the loss? She lost?
I can't remember where the match was, but yes, she had
about a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was somewhat embarrassing because she
yes.
talked up a lot of shit beforehand.
Exactly.
But no, it was cool. And like Dana White, who's the guy that runs UFC and stuff, he was in the crowd for WrestleMania
oh,
cheering
that's
on
great.
Front row.
Oh, that's really
and
cool.
Sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's nice. It's nice to know that it isn't bad blood and potentially you could see some more people.
They need a bit
over.
Of crossover because Brock Lesnar has been big in UFC and massive in WWE. He's been the world champion for the last year.
Mm.
It might be Universal champion. Anyway, he's been around for a long time and he flits back and forth between the two, and he got involved a little bit of may have been juicing last year.
Okay.
I say may because it's one of those allegedly things
yeah.
that we don't know the full truth.
Yeah.
But he's a monster of a man who's clearly done things. So it's nice to have Ronda in as someone who's clearly quite clean
yeah.
and a great role model on this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a nice bridge between the two.
How fun.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like this is the start of a lot of stuff.
I hope so.
Yeah. What else have you been watching?
So I got a couple of things that I can blaze through quickly. So I did watch The Last OG, which I talked about a few weeks ago,
yes.
Tracy Morgan's new show. It is wonderful.
It really was? Okay, great.
It is strange watching him play the straight man.
I don't even know how that would be.
Because he
actually,
went to...
having said that, I did hear him. I can't even remember what the podcast was, but I heard him being interviewed, and it was a serious interview once about his life.
Yep.
And he was very serious.
Yes. So, okay, so he gets arrested on the night of the American Idol season one finale.
Okay,
so
yeah.
every reference he has is Justin versus Kelly or this sort of stuff. So for him to come out of jail after 15 years, he's still very funny and making jokes, but he's not the wild slapstick guy that you normally see in other shows.
He's not the 30 Rock Tracy.
Not at all.
Yeah.
He's the man lost in time.
Right.
And it's the world around him that's crazy.
I just love this premise.
It's really good. It's got a lot of heart. I've got a ton of hope for where it goes. Yep. You know, he tries to reconnect with a past love. It goes poorly, but he learns that... I won't even say what it is, but there's something he learns in the final moments of the show that give context for where the show's going to go from here, and it's really heartwarming.
Oh, good.
Yes, it gives a lot of hope in a show that didn't have tons of it through.
Brilliant.
So that was great. I recommend jumping on board with that. Legion started, which I've talked up a couple of times now.
Yep, yep.
I'm going to be very honest and say I watched the first episode, so I can talk about it now, but then I will be bunching up from here on out and okay. watching a few episodes at a time.
All right.
Because just like last year, season the first episode of the season makes no fucking sense.
Yep, that's Legion for you.
Yep, it's a lot of yep. pay attention because this might matter later or might not, but who knows?
Yeah, it's like a game of concentration. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some fantastic trippy visual effects, which is what the show is known for.
It's all about,
yeah. There's a fantastic bit where one of the characters is talking almost directly to camera, and I don't know exactly how they've done it, but it looks like they've set up a rotating light rig around the camera. So
yes.
it shines the light on her face, but it's constantly rotating,
how
so it
clever.
Makes her look very otherworldly.
Ooh.
Yeah. Looks plastic and just like you, it makes your eyes blink trying to focus on her features.
Yeah, right. That's clever.
Yes, excited for this season. Last season was all about parasites and sort of expunging bad thoughts and stuff, whereas this season looks far more focused on delusion and owning your memories as to whether they're actually real memories or fabrications filling in gaps.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be pretty deep. I've jumped back onto Comic Book Men, which is a show that I used to watch a lot. I haven't watched it in like a year or two.
Is it just something you fell out of, or...?
No, I just got busy watching other stuff, and then I remembered it was there, and it's a nice warm blanket.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's kind of like a Porn Stars or a Hardcore Porn, one of those pawn shop-owning things, but it's yep. set at the Secret Stash, which is Kevin Smith's comic book shop.
Yes.
Run by his childhood friends. And, yeah, it's just a bunch of nerds talking around.
You're just happy
around.
Watching it.
They get celebs come in and try and pitch stuff or sell stuff to them. Method Man was on one episode talking about Migos from the 70s that he loved, and he wanted a deal, and they were like, it's going to be $400. He's like, how about I write a rap for you right now? Freestyle. So they've got Method Man in a comic book shop rapping.
That's so cool.
Yes. So it was nice to jump back in there. And the last one that I checked out real quick that I'll mention is one called The Zimmern List.
Zimmern.
Yes. So this guy's a chef, or he's a travel... like he's
is
a,
it Andrew, Andrew Zimmern? Andrew Zimmern, yeah, used to do bizarre foods. And
that's
used to have to go all over the world eating the grossest stuff you could think of and then pretending that it tasted okay.
Sure.
Like an eyeball from a fish was not a weird thing for him. Yes.
Well, this is him getting to do a bucket list show. So it's going to different places. The only episode I watched was San Diego. I don't watch a lot of cooking shows. I'm not going to watch any more of this show. But what I saw was quite enjoyable.
I'd watch it.
It's...
Travel and cooking, that's my combination right there.
Well, this episode was all about the barrows of San Diego, the way that it's fused Mexican with seafood, which is not a big combination across America.
Yeah, okay. You know,
San Diego has a very unique location that it's right by very, very fresh seawater, so they can do tons of great fishing and get lots of fresh produce.
Mm.
But you've also got the heavy Mexican influence coming through, so that's why you get fish tacos.
Fish tacos are pretty damn good.
Yeah. And it's, you know, his list is stuff like, you know, eat fish tacos and go surfing.
Yes.
And things like that. So it's just a very laid back, casual.
He's pretty easy to watch as well.
Yeah.
He's lighthearted. He's got energy and, he's been around for quite a few years. I know, because that genre is that's my jam.
Well, that's why I watched it, so I could talk about it.
Well, I watched a show that I'm sure you've watched before.
What's
I
that?
Decided to jump onto SBS On Demand just to watch some free stuff. Mm-hmm. It's always good to do that. And I got a whole lot of Travel Man 48 hours
oh,
in.
Oh, yeah.
Dot, 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 dot.
Richard Ayoade. I just want to live in his
he's so good.
Shirt pocket.
And you just, everything he says, you're like, I think I need to watch this again so I can enjoy the joke that I just missed, because there were 12 in that sentence.
He's so good.
Of course, from IT Crowd. That's where he's from. But he also did, he's done Gadget Man. I've watched that. I've only seen an episode of that. But this one, I jumped in I think it's season 5 or 6 they've got up there. You
yeah,
can
they
watch
only
the
do.
Whole thing.
Well, they only do 3 or 4 episodes,
and it's great. It was Rome.
Yep.
And Vienna. No, yep. Not Vienna. Valencia.
Oh.
In Spain, and there's a few others
whom,
on there.
Whom with?
Oh, Mr. Matt Lucas.
Sure.
So good. Those that one in Rome was probably my highlight. That yep. was the best one. The other one, I didn't know the comedian. She was fun, but I'd seen the Matt Lucas one first.
Sure.
And those two, they could potentially have a show together. It was so good.
If I can make a recommendation of an episode worth tracking down.
Yes.
Paul Rudd.
Okay. Paul Rudd.
Yeah, I think, I can't remember exactly. Maybe it's Helsinki or they go somewhere that feels very Russian or something. And I don't know, it's worth watching for his dynamic. And I'm glad you saw the Matt Lucas, because when they click, it's great. But sometimes it's when he doesn't click with someone that the show is even better.
Just for the hilarious awkwardness. Yeah.
Like the John Hamm episode.
Yeah, can't see that being.
It's a combination
friends?
That doesn't work no. on paper. And at first feels a bit frosty and icy. And then you realize that they're both still playing characters.
Right.
And it starts to melt away a bit and, okay. and stuff. Because John Hamm goes hours. To the UK when he wants to do comedy.
Well, he's been in a lot of... No, he was in 30 Rock. He
sure.
was, yeah, for... I mean, he was only a reoccurring character. He's been in a Black Mirror, which I know is not comedy, but it was an English one.
Yes. He went over there and did, I think it was The Doctor's Apprentice or something like that, where Daniel Radcliffe
right.
played him as a boy.
Yes.
Couple of seasons of that. Yeah, he goes over there and does some very funny oddball stuff because he knows it'll never damage his US career.
Yeah, fair enough. He can still
That's
be
That's why
the,
he's in Baby Driver, because he's really good friends with Edgar Wright.
This is, the context here is all becoming... Mm. clear. In fact, I don't quote me on this, but if you jump onto SBS On Demand, I'm pretty sure the John Hamm one was listed there.
Sure. I think it might have even been the Christmas special or something like that.
Just have a look for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should be there and free. But great show. And I just love those travel sort of shows and the way that he goes around it, the whole way the show is structured. You know, the fact that he's pointing out the fact that he's pointing at something.
Yep.
I'm pointing at something.
Yep.
Yeah. It was just hilarious and was right up my alley.
In a world that time forgot. We are the Watchers.
Another thing I watched, and this had a strange effect on me and made me wonder about nostalgia.
Mm.
Because I saw that on Netflix, Dick Van Dyke Show was on there,
huh.
which is from the 1960s. I've never seen it before.
So he's Mary Poppins, right?
Yes, that's right. And Mary Tyler Moore in Dick Van Dyke Show is his wife. Never
right,
seen
okay.
the show before.
Sure.
Watching it, just that aura, that warm glow of nostalgia washed over me
yeah.
of when you watch an old show like that. And I thought, this is weird because this usually only ever happens if you've seen the show before.
Of course.
But the fact that, I don't know, maybe it's that world where other shows like Leave It to Beaver and I guess The Brady Bunch to a certain extent as well, that they're all wrapped in nostalgia that if you watch something of that era, you
of
just
course.
Feel warm and cozy as well. And it was one of those shows that you can watch whilst doing other stuff and just tap in and out of it because the storylines are, of course, as old as time and as old as television sitcoms are that sort of within the first 5 minutes you're like, oh, I understand the whole setup of this because every other
yep.
sitcom since then has done that.
It laid the
exact
path.
Story. Yeah. Look, if you just want a warm and cozy Nick at Night feeling program, it's on Netflix. The whole show is on there. Go and check it out. It's fun.
Has Netflix added HR Puffin stuff yet?
Oh, I don't think so.
They should get on that.
They should. I remember that
Come
as a
on,
kid.
Come on, Sid and Marty Croft are still kicking around. They'd sell the rights.
Yeah, they would.
Witchy poo.
Oh,
my dad
witchy
hates witchy poo.
Really?
Yeah, I could say that. He's not listening. He's just had this weird, absolutely irrational hatred
so he,
of witchy poo.
He admits to the fact that there is no reason to
yeah.
him hating it.
Yeah, it's just... fucking witchy poo. Does not like it. I don't think he cares for HR Puff and stuff himself
yeah.
too much either.
Nostalgia, though, for me.
Yeah, that my dad wasn't a kid when that was on TV.
That's probably a big aspect for it. It's like the Teletubbies for me. I'm sure that people at the age of, I don't know, 20 probably think it's great to watch again. But for me, never got into it. Because I wasn't a kid. Anything else you've been watching?
Yeah, look, we'll talk about Walking Dead.
We will talk about Walking Dead. We might save it towards the end.
I've been playing a lot of Far Cry 5.
I struggled to force myself to turn that. Whenever I had a moment to just relax, I struggled to watch stuff as opposed to play that game. I am 100% sucked into that world.
I'm using Far Cry 5 as my pudding. If I get through my watching, that's my meal, then I get it as my pudding.
Oh, I should start doing that as well, because I've finished one whole area.
Oh, don't say anything, because I'm just about to fight John.
Oh, that's the one I went to that's first where as I'm well. At.
And I had to turn it off because it was 1:30 or 2 o'clock last night, and I knew that if I got into this, I would be up until we recorded.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
What is it about the game? Is it the world? Is it the storyline? What is it that sucked you in, do you think?
I think a big part for me is that the previous two games, you felt like a bit like a colonial invader, and you're coming into different people. And you are changing their lives. And some of them are treating you as a savior, and some of them see you as the enemy. Whereas this game is very much far more relatable.
Do you feel like you're taking back? Yes. I mean, I know that the characters within the world, you know, say thank you for, you know, helping us fight these
but
guys.
I feel that liberation happening a lot more. You see it with the trucks driving around. You see it with people assisting you. I think they might even have it so that there's less cloud cover when you've liberated stuff. Not just on the map, but when you're actually running around, things seem just a shade brighter when you've liberated an area.
I'm going to have to check that out.
It's just like hope being reinstilled.
Yeah.
I'm loving this game.
So good.
I mean, it is almost the exact same as the other games mechanics-wise, but the coolest part for me is that I haven't had to go and kill 3 goats at any point.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been any dumb missions like that. The closest there have been was when I had to help organize the Testy Festy.
I don't know if I've done that.
It's one of the real deep side missions where you're helping the chef and he wants to put a festival back on for the people. So you've got to go and steal his food truck back, and then you have to go and procure bull testicles for the Testy Festy. And each testicle needs to be retrieved in a different manner to infuse different tastes in there. And it might be the greatest use of Marvin Gaye's sexual healing I've ever heard. Get up, get up.
I did have one strange. It was herding of 3 cows.
Yes.
I had to do that, and I went, it didn't take long. They didn't make it hard for you. But I just thought, there isn't too much of that kind of stuff.
No, there's so few of those boring, repetitive style missions. They are quite clever.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to have Nick on my side now, get some pilot action.
He's very helpful when liberating certain areas of the map.
Nick,
yeah.
I need a bomb. This sort of stuff. So, yes, I'm enraptured. I'll be playing plenty more of it.
Me too. Me too.
And some good games coming.
I know.
So I've got to get through this.
I've got God of War on the horizon that I'm looking at.
It's only a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, I'm not going to get to it by the time it starts, I don't think.
I think looking at the rest of this year.
By the time it comes out, I mean.
God of War 4, Jurassic World Evolution, I've got to build some park, and Spider-Man, which is a PS4 exclusive.
Yes.
That looked
like a lot of fun. Are we also still on board for Red Dead this
year? Yes, Red Dead. Oh,
that's,
how could I forget
October?
That's, yeah, I think they announced October 27, somewhere around there.
And then I heard that somebody was discussing the fact that Call of Duty Black Ops 4 has been brought forward as well, because apparently usually Call of Duty games are in November, but now it's in October.
Yeah.
And they said, they're trying to go up against it. Don't know. I don't know what the point of that would
be. Just move out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to match it. Nothing's going to match it.
It's Red Dead. So there's a whole heap of that.
I'm still waiting to hear when the Far Cry 5 expansion packs will add, because there's 3, in the same way that they did Blood Dragon and stuff. One of them's zombies.
Yes.
One of them's Vietnam.
Yes, Vietnam. That one sounds good. Apparently it's based off one of the characters you help. And
cool.
I think I know which person
it is. I think I might know as well.
Yeah.
The really old dude that gets you to go and find his keys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then another one, which I think might be space. I'm hoping it's werewolves on the moon.
Look, if there's any game that would do it, it's this one. I have not done any of their DLC before.
Sure.
But these 3 sound really fun.
They're very good.
I'm going to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are the Watchers. Now, the voice cracked. Hi, I'm the voiceover guy, and I've had enough. Toodaloo.
I got one other thing. Can I show you the thing and we can edit this out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Okay, so I've talked in the past at great length about AP Bio, which is Dennis from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, his new show.
Yes, yes, you have spoken about this.
Where it's kind of like he's, it's the anti-School of Rock, that he's not learning anything. So a bit of context for here. All the students in the school have to raise a fake baby.
Okay.
And things are not going to plan with that.
Okay. Due to copyright issues.
Yeah, we can't play the clip, but I just showed it to Leah because it was bleak.
It was very bleak, but I couldn't stop laughing.
I know, it was very funny.
That was very funny about those electronic babies.
Yeah, if you've ever had to raise a fake baby at school to learn some responsibility and stuff, that's one way to deal with too many crying babies.
To deal with them.
Yeah, take them all to a pool and stop the crying.
Yep, and that's what he did. Mm. That's great.
Yes.
That looks like a great show.
So it's really good, and when I say it's earned it, it's taken a long time. Like, I think they're 6 or 7 or 8, maybe even 8 episodes in now. Each one has slowly eroded at this character's sanity. So he's gone from being indignant about having to go back to his hometown to angry, to vengeful, to destructive. And then I think it's just going to keep progressing him further down the slope.
It's going to be an amazing season finale, I feel.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to crash and burn spectacularly.
Look, where it's going now, I really respect him stepping away from Always Sunny in order to go and make this show.
Yeah.
It's perfect for his acting range.
He's going to have a lot of fun doing
this. Yes.
What else have you been getting into?
Walking Dead.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1, you have been warned.
Yes, so we watched the second last episode of the season.
I love a good penultimate. Gotta love that usage.
Things happen. Do you know what I noticed? There was no Rick sweats. Even whilst reading Carl's letter, I thought we're going to get a bit of a Rick sweat here. There wasn't.
Do you think the episode, like, full disclosure, I quite enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
Do you think it's because there was so little Rick and those guys and we actually humanised the saviours?
Yes.
Which should have happened 2 years ago?
It should have happened 2 years ago. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I did enjoy it. Even even the little bit of the our group, the Alexandrians, that we saw with Rosita and Daryl doing a bit of an abduction, which didn't last very long.
I've never been as skeeved. Like, this show is gross. We see a lot of gross stuff on Walking Dead, but I've never been as skeeved as intentionally projectile vomiting on someone in order to elicit escape.
It was such a Eugene moment.
I was proud of my boy.
Yeah, he projectile vomits onto Rosita to run away as a distraction and then goes and hides under the ashes of dead bodies so they can't find him.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows to you, because Eugene, since being in the Saviors, has not had the opportunity to be as hilarious.
No.
As he is. It's a little more serious there because there is that threat that Negan's going to just discard him in any way possible. So to have him back with those two, because Rosetta's never had time for him, really. She hasn't. And their dynamic is amusing, but to have that happen, it just shows you how Eugene will go to any length for him to survive.
Yeah,
doesn't matter about anybody else.
What he talks about constantly, that's all that he cares about in this world, and it was crazy to see two great examples of that in action.
Absolutely, and he's so hell-bent on self-preservation. That's what it's all about. And then getting back and doing the bullets and everything, producing the bullets, which I'd forgotten Father Gabriel was there.
Sure. Do you think there's still a chance that he's trying to Eugene is trying to sabotage things subtly?
I don't know.
I think they want us to think there's still a glimmer of hope.
Yes, with Eugene, because otherwise he's just going to be the bad guy.
Yep.
And for Eugene, he was the comic relief,
if
you can have that.
They need someone like that because Aaron's not being funny at all.
Not
anymore.
At all.
Glenn's gone. Yep. Abraham's gone.
I miss Abraham a lot. That dynamic that he brought to the show is just completely wiped out.
I'm also sad that Simon's gone.
I'm sad that Simon's gone as well. Trevor GTA.
He's been my favourite character this season.
I thought, I know that they had been setting him up the past maybe 4 or 5 episodes.
Oh, he was going to go.
For the demise.
100%.
But could there have been space for him and Negan both to be bad guys against each other and the rest of the crowd? Could it have gone on for longer, or did that need to happen? Obviously, Simon's demise was the storyline. But I just felt that he had enough interest.
Do you want me to say? They needed Simon out of the way, so when Rick finally pulls his let's make peace move, that there's no dissension in Negan's ranks.
Yes, because Dwight's caught.
They need everyone following and towing the line, so when Negan says this is what we're doing, that's what's done.
Okay.
That's what I think anyway.
Yeah.
It was strange that they waited until his death episode for us to finally get a little backstory on Simon, including the fact that he's responsible for all the men at Oceanside.
Yes.
All the men and boys.
Yes.
So it was never Negan.
Never Negan.
And that just suddenly colours things so much better, because what happened with Oceanside seemed out of character for Negan and the Saviors. And now we know that was Simon pre-Saviors, or maybe just joining them but going rogue.
It definitely made sense. Yeah, Simon had just... Yeah, it was at the beginning of Simon and Negan knowing each other and working with each other that Oceanside happened. And it does make more sense, because last week we had Negan talking about the fact that people... I mean, he said it over and over again, but he doesn't want to kill people because...
No, they're resources.
Yeah, they're of use to him and to the rest of society. And having Simon as the bad guy to Negan the bad guy, making Negan not look more like a good guy, just giving him more roundness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely did a lot to soften Negan, which, if it goes in the direction of the comic books, they need to do.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
They need to bring the sympathetic side back up.
Which I think Negan definitely has. There's enough aspects that have been hinted on or thrown at us that allows us to know that Negan is not 100% a bad guy.
Well, look, we've said it many times that in an alternate universe, we're following the Saviors and they're the good guys.
Yeah, the perspective. It's all about perspective with him. And Dwight is going to have an interesting episode to next week. I was going to say tomorrow. Next week, the final one, we saw him in the sweatshirt.
Yep.
With the A written on it, which is the same one Daryl had.
I am very nervous, and I promise you that I'm going to be so much more pissed off if they kill Dwight than when they killed Carl.
Because Dwight is the next storyline progression.
Dwight's huge deal moving forward. Mm. So if they lose him...
Do you think they won't lose him, though, because we've lost Simon? It was sort of a... They were both, trying to undermine... Well, not undermine, backstab and whatnot,
sure.
Negan. And now we've said goodbye to one of them. It leaves it open for Dwight's story to progress?
Yes. Look, I'm hoping that's the case.
Yeah.
It could mean that we're resorted to a couple of hours of torture porn of Dwight until we finally get somewhere with him.
We're not going to have that song Easy Street, are we?
No, we better not. Look, it is possible that a lot of Dwight's storyline could be given to Daryl. It would need some retrofitting and some tweaks to it and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Without Negan around, Dwight ends up in charge of the Saviors.
Mm.
But these are Saviors working with Hilltop, Alexandria, Kingdom.
And there's not that many of them at the moment, because most of them are all extras.
No, and he becomes basically in charge of Rick's army and training the men and this sort of stuff.
Okay.
So I feel that's pretty important. Daryl could potentially fulfill that role, but I would much rather see Dwight stick around. It's great to have a grey-coloured character rather than, white or black. Just have someone who's... look, I love that they're juxtaposing so much of his story with Eugene, because Eugene's all about saving himself.
All about himself.
Whereas Dwight, they called him on it. Dwight sees himself as a martyr. He's prepared to die for this stuff in order to seem heroic to others. That's a very interesting character trait.
Yeah. We've not seen somebody. He's not Rick. That's not Rick.
It's a card that doesn't tend to get played.
Not in this universe.
Much. Not in too many universes. You've always got to have your, heroic good character and stuff like that, but have someone that's not even really chaotic neutral, but more I don't know where they would fall on the Dungeons and Dragons play sheet.
Dwight
is a very difficult character to try and nail down, because
he's a long-term television show character.
That's it. And you can it's not like where you're constantly questioning his allegiance of waiting for him to turn. It's the flip of that, of waiting for him to get caught.
Yes.
And there's something great to watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So next week will be, I don't know if it's going to be a longer episode, actually. I don't think it will be, because Fear's straight after it.
Yeah. Oh, look, they might do a 70-minute episode or something.
Yeah.
Because this week's episode was a bit longer.
Mm.
I'm just so worried that we're not going to get the war finished.
I know. I just want it over and done with now. It's been going for two seasons at least.
If they make it season 9, the first half is the day of the battle.
Yep.
Listeners, I'm rubbing
my eyes. He's crying.
Eyes.
It's become quite emotional about it.
It's just time to move past the all-out war.
Mm-hmm. And do that jump. I am hoping that there'll be a two-year jump,
the comics. It will give the show a whole bunch of blood.
Fresh air.
Yeah. As I said, this stuff with Simon and everything should have happened a year ago, because then we'd be far more invested in the other side.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We will see. And we'll be doing more chatting about that. Next week, I think it's time for our quiz.
Hey, one last thing before we quiz.
Yes.
Sunday, it was the 25th anniversary of the Goofy movie coming out.
Your movie
of
choice.
Yep.
Did you watch it?
I watched clips of it on YouTube.
That's okay. It counts.
And I listened to the soundtrack in the car.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yep.
Happy birthday, Goofy movie. This one doesn't necessarily have a Spice Girls twist to it. It's just that when naming it, I had a Spice Girls song stuck in my head. So it's slamming to the left or shaking to the right.
Ziggy, ziggy, ziggy.
Ziggy, zigga. I think that's two separate songs.
Haka.
We need to have a think without looking at some coins and find out which way the Queen or other people are facing.
Oh, all right.
We'll start off with a £1 coin. Is the Queen facing left or right?
Left.
It's right. New Zealand $1 coin. Does the Kiwi bird face left or right?
Right.
Left. I know, this is all guessing at this point.
It is.
Now, this one, I tried to look at the euro coin to see if I could figure out, you know, get it?
So sure.
The €1 coin, what is next to the number one? Because there's actually no face on the side I was looking at. What is next to the number one on the euro coin?
Jeff Goldblum.
I really wish it was. Unfortunately, it's just a map of Europe showing the countries that are part of the EU. They're not actually that interesting, those coins.
Damn it.
Who's on the US quarter coin?
Lincoln?
It's Washington.
Oh, I was going to say Washington.
Yeah, they're all different. Lincoln's on the $5 note. But then Washington's on the $1 note, isn't he?
I think Washington, I don't know, Washington's on the good note.
Just be honest.
Oh, I'm thinking Benjamin.
Yeah, that's a 20? 100. No, 100.
Yeah.
20's
it's all about
Jackson.
The Benjamins.
Yeah, all about the Benjamin. Okay, which way is George Washington facing?
Left.
You slam to the left or the right. Yes, left, absolutely. Which way is the Queen facing on the Australian dollar coin? I'll give you a clue.
Right.
Yes.
See, I know our coins.
Yeah, dude, that's impressive. All right, if you know our coins, is the last question.
Yeah.
Which way is the largest kangaroo facing on the $1 coin? The one right in front, because there's obviously, I think there's about
left.
Two or three behind.
No, right.
Well, the body's facing right, but yes, the head is facing left. Left.
Sure.
Yes.
It's because kangaroos can't move backwards.
No, they can't. They're always moving forward.
Or emus.
Which is why both of them, emu and kangaroo, are our coat of arms.
There you go, everyone who doesn't live in Australia.
And everybody that does live in Australia, hi, you already knew that.
Well done completing your one.
I reckon that's going to do it for
Good
us
quiz.
This week. That was fun. Always try and come up with different ones. They don't have to be television related.
No, they don't. Just some shenanigans.
Yeah, it's what we like. We like
fun.
All the shenanigans. Tom, thank you very much.
Ziggy, ziggy, ziggy. Haka.